John Riggs Kilkenny, supporting Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport on 88.7 FM.
Right, very good evening. You're very welcome to Sunday Evening Talk Sport. Well, it's Kilkenny and Clare in the Alliance Hurling League final. But a lot of people thought it'd be Limerick and Tip. Just goes to show. Anyway, it's that's the way it's going to be. Kilkenny coming through against Limerick, 317 to 115, and Clare coming through against Tipperary, 124 to 213. The final in a fortnight's time. No luck for Kilkenny's senior camogie team. They were well beaten by Tipperary yesterday. Kilkenny minor team, they did well, and they got the better of Waterford. That was in minor camogie. The Town's Cup, heartbreak for Kilkenny as Gorey beat them by a single point, 20 points to 19. We'll have the McAlmont Cup results as well in soccer, and of course we'll revisit the McAlmont Cup final in Greyhound Racing. All to come here on the programme between now and 7 o'clock. First port to call, well, Páirc Uí Chaoimh, the Alliance Hurling League semi-final, Kilkenny against Limerick, and Nicky Brennan, watch this for us down there in the by the Lee. Coverage of the Alliance Hurling League on Community Radio Kilkenny City is sponsored by Michael Ling Motors, Country Style Foods, JJ Kavanagh & Sons and John Brennan Machinery. Community Radio Kilkenny City, number one for sport.
Most Kilkenny supporters opted not to travel to Páirc Uí Chaoimh yesterday afternoon. Perhaps they felt that the reigning All-Ireland and National League champions Limerick would pose too big an obstacle for the Cats. But more than likely it was because getting in and out of the Cork Stadium is very challenging at the best of times. After the torturous weather conditions which Kilkenny had to endure in Waterford last weekend, the players and mentors would have been delighted to play on the pristine pitch in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Kilkenny like a fast surface, and that is what they were presented with in Cork yesterday. It is 2019 since Limerick last suffered a loss in a knockout game, ironically against Kilkenny. Since then they have been the dominant hurling team around, but yesterday was a big chance for Kilkenny to get a boost prior to the commencement of the upcoming Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. Kilkenny's prospects looked anything but good after 4 minutes of yesterday's game. Dermot Burns pointed a free from midfield after 2.5 minutes, while 1 minute later Arden Gallan had the ball in the Kilkenny net after he got hold of the slitter when it was dropped by a Kilkenny defender. Impressive wing-back Cathal O'Neill landed a point from play in the next attack after a crossfield pass from Tom Morrissey. 4 minutes in, and with the champions 1-2 to no score ahead, Kilkenny, playing with the breeze, looked in a bit of bother. A pointed free from TJ Reid after Owen Cody had been fouled got Kilkenny off the mark, and they took a firm grip on the game from that moment. Straight from the Limerick puck out, Jordan Malai won aerial possession. His quick delivery into Owen Cody saw the Shamrocks Ballyhale attacker gain possession round his marker Alan Costello, and his shot to the net past Nicky Quaid. Billy Ryan tagged on a point almost immediately to tie the game at 1-2 each on 10 minutes. The excitement from the small Kilkenny following had barely died down when Luke Hogan grabbed the second goal for the Cats after Owen Cody's shot had been parried by Nicky Quaid. Adrian Mullen landed a point 1 minute later, and now Kilkenny were in control. After a couple of misses, Arden Gallan pointed a Limerick free, but the Kilkenny defence was now on top. Kilkenny's confidence was sky high, and we saw TJ Reid going for goal from a close-in free on 17 minutes, which was saved. Limerick then moved the ball quickly up the field with Arden Gallan pointing. Adrian Mullen added a point for Kilkenny in the 19th minute to push the margin out to 3 points. The one Limerick player who was on top of his game for most of yesterday's encounter was Cathal O'Neill, and he grabbed his second point in the 23rd minute when he moved up from the fence to collect a crossfield pass to score. Aside from short puckouts, Kilkenny badly opted for the long ball and diagonally across the field as necessary. On the 30th minute mark, Kilkenny scored their third goal. TJ Reid found himself isolated with Alan Costello on the edge of the Limerick square, and when Paddy Deegan landed the ball in between Reid and Costello, there was only ever going to be one winner of that delivery. The ball was brilliantly caught by Reid, who buried it into the back of the Limerick net. 1 minute later, Reid had moved out the field, and when he gained possession, he spotted Killian Buckley free, and the Dixborough band popped the ball over the bar. Arden Gallan pointed for the Shannonsiders 1 minute into first-half injury time, and when referee James Owen blew the half-time whistle, Kilkenny led by 7 points, 3-6 to 1-5. There was a bit more urgency about Limerick early in the second half, with Donoghue Dalig and sub David Reedy pointing to reduce the margin to 5 points. In between those two Limerick points, Kilkenny lost Owen Cody to a second yellow card, and the team now had to adjust to playing with 14 players. The absence of the Shamrocks Ballyhale attacker did not impact on Kilkenny's control of the game. Limerick injected a bit more urgency into the contest with Peter Casey, Donegal Dolig and Aaron Galan pointing, but all the time TJ Reid was keeping Kilkenny ahead, pointing from play and place balls as Limerick conceded far too many frees. Limerick were fortunate not to concede two further goals, as sub Owen Wall did brilliantly to win the ball on both occasions, only for the slitter to be saved or go agonisingly wide. Derek Ling and his fellow selectors had the luxury of being able to rest a few players in the closing quarter, but by that stage Limerick appeared to have waved goodbye to the National League holders tag. Billy Drennan took over the free-taking duties from TJ Reid and landed 3 points. Tom Morrissey and David Reedy landed late points for Limerick, with Martin Keown finishing the scoring with a Kilkenny point to see the Cats comfortably ahead by 8 points at the finish, 3-16 to 1-14. After a poor start, Kilkenny were excellent and showed a far greater desire for victory than Limerick. The Shannon Siders were poor and played with little energy and enthusiasm. John Kiley said that it was close to the worst performance he had seen from his team since he took charge of the side. He was adamant, though, that he wanted Limerick to reach the league final, but conceded that Kilkenny were the better side. "To be honest, I never thought that the Limerick players looked seriously interested in winning yesterday's game. True, they were missing some key players, but so too were Kilkenny. Peter Casey's late red card means he will miss the opening round in the Munster Championship between Limerick and Clare. This victory is just a confidence builder that Kilkenny needed going forward, firstly into the league final and secondly into the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship. Derek Ligg knows that there is plenty of room for improvement, but for now, a victory over Limerick in a knockout game is the ideal fillip for this Kilkenny side." Final score from Páirc Uí Chaoimh: Kilkenny 3-16, Limerick 1-14.
Right, and so Kilkenny winning there by 8 points, and it was the both teams getting a point extra. Right, we're on to the aftermatch reaction, and Nicky got down to the bowels of Páirc Uí Chaoimh and spoke to Derek Ling and to John Kiley.
Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday evening Talksport on CRKC 88.7 FM.
Different mood to last time, Derek, you were here after a match against Limerick.
Yeah, definitely. No, good performance, and yeah, happy with the win. And look, win, lose or draw today, we knew, like, we still have, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of championship, and there's still a long way to go, and we're going to have to keep improving. But look, a lot of positives to take over.
Which positives would you say really did us out for you today, do you think?
Yeah, I think, look, it all over. I think I thought we responded very well to the start Limerick got, and, you know, you could easily... You know, lads could drop the head pretty quickly, and, you know, they're a kind of a team that can, when they get a start and you like that and get into the groove, they can punish you. But I thought we heard well, heard our way back into the game. I thought, you know, Owen's goal was very important, and it gave the whole team a little bit of a boost, and there was good energy there after that. First half was pretty good after that, and, you know, obviously when Owen got sent off in the second half, I thought we managed it pretty well for a while, and obviously the teams were evened up then. But look, a lot of positives to take over, but at the same time, just, it's, I know we've a lot of improvement still to do, but I think we're progressing pretty well, so happy with that.
Kilkenny were hungry for goals today, got quite a few, and we could have had a few more. That's a good sign of the team, they were really up for that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And look, the lads are working hard, and it was, you know, getting the ball in fast there. And I think probably the last couple of months, you know, as the, you know, the pitches get better and conditions get better, you do get more goal opportunities. It's so we know we have the players there. You know, I thought we created chances today, which was a positive, and it's just important that, you know, we keep improving on that and keep creating chances, and hopefully start, you know, taking a few more as the year goes on.
Again, you got to get more of the panel in today for various reasons. All of them, you know, added their own little dimension to it. I mean, and your midfield partnership in particular, I know Adrian drifted out there a fair bit. You'd have to be pleased, particularly with Jordan Mullay. He actually adapted to midfield very well there today and linked up and was responsible for the it was TJ's goal, I think, or until John Donnelly passed out. Well, another one earlier, I think.
That's right. Yeah, look, Jordan, both Jordan Keane, very good hurlers, ball players, and obviously, you know, there, it was a test for Jordan today. I suppose he's been out injured since the Wexford game, so, you know, he got back into training last week and has been proving pretty well. So, look, it was an opportunity, and he took it today, and we got a number of fellas came in then as well, and, you know, we've a group that's working very hard, and, you know, I think it's important that they get the opportunity, and I'm not too concerned. Like, there's probably a lot of talk about in terms of the teams that we're putting out and settled teams and that, but I think the effort and the spirit is really good within the camp, and that's really important. So, like I said, it's important that we keep improving. That's going to be key.
Now, obviously, a lot of players not available today for various reasons. Mikey Carey, Walter Walsh, and quite a number of more. Yeah. Mickey Butler, Tom Phelan, Conor Heary. Where are all them in the whole timeline of maybe coming back, do you think?
Yeah, thankfully nothing too serious with all of them. You know, Connor had just had a setback really Friday, and which was disappointing, Thursday rather. And, you know, Mikey, the two Mikeys had, you know, setbacks against Waterford, but, you know, nothing that another, you know, 2 to 3 weeks won't sort out. And so we'll just, yeah, we'll manage that. But, you know, look at nothing too serious, which is important. I mean, we've lads coming back, you know, in the next 3 or 4 weeks as well.
All going well, you'd be hoping to have nearly a full squad for the championship. If someone does not have a setback in the league finals, eh?
Yeah, touch wood, we keep going like that. And, you know, Tom Fiedel hasn't seen action yet, but he's progressing pretty well, and we'll be hoping in the next few weeks he'll be back hurling as well. And well, he might be a few weeks into the championship, but he's progressing well as well. So look, it's I suppose we have a number of lads out, but when you have a kind of a timeline of the next 3 or 4 weeks that they're coming back, that's a positive.
A league final in Thurles, very likely in Thurles, whether it be Tip or Clare now at this stage. Ideal preparation coming into the Leinster Championship, and you're playing a team from the other province, so it makes it nearly all the better. You can really go for this one.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, we'll be going for it anyway. It's a great test for us again, and it's a great game for us to get. And yeah, look, we'll look forward to it now. It's in 2 weeks' time, so we have a bit of preparation for it, which is good. And, you know, championships around the corner. So again, it's a bit like today. Whatever happens, we'll just have to, you know, it's about getting ready for a championship as well. But it's a good place to be, and it's another opportunity for us.
But this game was a good confidence builder. I mean, Limerick had the upper hand on it for the last while. To actually beat Limerick in the knockout competition will be good for everybody in the squad, yourself included, just to have got that over you, and you can feel more confident going forward now.
Yeah, for sure, we'll take a lot from it. And I think it's important that we do. I think it's important we do take the positives from it. And at the same time, we know that, you know, that we're not near where we need to be, and I think that's important, and I think we need to keep working hard, and I think that's good. That's the challenge ahead of us.
Did you face much stop, Derek, on it wouldn't be good for this Kenny group to lose a fourth consecutive time to Limerick in the space of 20?
No, not at all. I mean, like, I've heard that a few times, that, you know, we've been beaten by Limerick in finals, but we've been beaten by a fantastic team, and you could have no complaints on any given day. And I think if you want to test yourself, you want to improve as a group, as a team, you need to be pitching yourself against the best. And we'll take the positives from today, but look, it's about driving on now.
Just in terms of personnel, Derek, is Conor Fogarty with you at the moment, or?
He is. Conor, unfortunately, had a little setback as well, but nothing major, so hopefully Conor will be back the next couple of weeks as well.
Don't ask me to be as bad as that.
I don't think we have played as bad as that, to be honest, since probably 2017, really, to be honest about it. Well, we were, but that's from an internal perspective, you know, like, we have to give cognizance, obviously. Kilkenny came with intent, came with a plan, executed very well. Their ball handling skills were good, they were good in the air, they took their chances when they came, whereas we were the polar opposite. We were poor on the ball, we were poor in defence, we were poor at, you know, things that we usually pride ourselves in terms of our intensity and our work rate, use of the ball, efficiency, you know, all the things that we would pride ourselves on, we were poor. And that's just our perspective and our own performance. But as I said, it has to be tempered with, you know, Kilkenny obviously played far, far better than we did today.
The Munster Championship is obviously going to be fair to you. You have huge games come out in the Munster Championship. How much did that play in terms of the tactics? Or I'm not using the word excuse, because I don't use
it. No, and I can assure you, we're not happy to be out of the league, all right? It's not part of any grand plan, I can assure you, right? We were looking to come here to win our game today, and anyone that knows us as a group knows that every single day we go out to win our matches. And we go out to play well, and we go out to be a better team than we were the week before, right? So this is not us exiting the league on our terms. This is us being kicked out of the league on Kilkenny's terms. That's the facts of the matter. And our performance today was embarrassing at times.
The way he started was excellent. I mean, he had 1-2 on the board, and Kilkenny looked to be struggling to wherever, even in the pitch. And then suddenly it turned around so quickly. You didn't get a response out of your players. Obviously, that's something you'll absolutely be able to do in the next couple of weeks prior to the Clare game. You have plenty to work on now. But mentally, or were the players, did they feel a bit tired today, or what is it? You haven't had time to actually consult with them yet.
No, we have met. We've sat and chatted there for the last 15 minutes. There's no excuse. There's just no excuse, you know. Had we trained today, I would have expected to get 3 times more out of them, right? Had we trained today. And if we weren't playing today, we would have been trained today. It's just not good enough. It's not acceptable. We know that. They know that. They put their hand up to acknowledge that. It's just disappointing from our perspective. So we have 4 weeks now to go and put our shoulder to the wheel and by Jesus, we've a lot of improvement to.
Does it concern you that you know you have to turn on that button again? Because nobody can doubt the quality that you have with your team and yourselves as well. But it's not always automatic that you can press a button and get back to fifth gear again.
It most certainly is not. You're 100% right. It takes an incredible effort to get to the where you need to get to in terms of execution of the skills of the game. And today our execution of the skills of the game was at a very, very low level.
To get a performance like that, John, at this stage in the life cycle of the team, would it leave you with any concerns about fatigue, whether it's mental or physical?
No, it doesn't, no, not at all. Like, I see it every week in training, I see it every night in training. Like, you know, if they were fatigued, they'd be fatigued in training. They don't just get fatigued for matches. Like, we've only played, 8-9 matches and already this year. Like, so, like, that's over 3 months. You couldn't possibly be fatigued. And if you were fatigued, as I said, you know, you'd see it in training. Whereas, I've seen the opposite in training. But for whatever reason, today, for whatever reason, I don't know, it just wasn't there. Now, I'd have to say, how many times in 7 or 8 seasons has it not been there? Very rarely. So do they get a pass on this one? It's not the way we operate. We don't give each other passes. You know, you can't give yourself a pass at this level of sport, because you give yourself a pass, you're expecting to get another one the next day. But we know there won't be another pass the next day, simple as that.
John, the concession of goals is something that you weren't happy with, obviously, against Tipperary. I know you're missing a few from the full-back line and Sean Finn coming in after a lengthy spell out, but you'd be disappointed again with that, with the goals conceded today.
I will, yeah, but like, it's not just a full-back line issue, you know. The quality of the ball going in is determined by the effort outside. The effort outside was abysmal, and hence quality balls were sent in, and if you get quality ball in, when you've got good quality forwards, what else are they going to do? They're going to nail you. And we got nailed, good and proper. And Kilkenny were full value for the goals they got today. They could have had maybe 2 or 3 more. Probably should have had 2 or 3 more. So it is a concern, but not just in the full back line. The full back line, what can a full back line do if you're left with 40 yards of space? Ask any full back player and you're isolated. And you get a really good quality ball in. Sure, the advantage, of course, is with the forward. And if you've got an excellent forward, they're going to take their chances on the law of averages, you know, 3 out of 5 times, 4 out of 5 times. So, listen, it was as much an issue outside as it was inside.
You said last year, looking ahead to the National League final, that it's perfect to get a big game ahead of Championship and just coming into Championship. Now in the lead-in, do you look at challenge matches? Do you keep it in-house? What way are you looking at it from that point of view?
Yeah, we would have preferred to have had a competitive game again in 2 weeks' time. Yeah, absolutely. That was what I was hoping for. That's what our intent was. We will go in-house. Absolutely we will. And for many reasons, you know, just space is up for grabs in this team now. That's the facts of the matter. And it's the fellas that really want to grab it by the scruff of the neck and lead it are the fellas that are going to be there.
Missing quite a few with knocks coming into this game, John. Is there anything serious?
They should be all training, hopefully, if not this week, definitely the week after. But no, we've a number there. Like, there is a number there, like Dan, Mike, Fergal, Kyle, Dara. I'm probably leaving somebody out now, but you know, there is a Colin Coughlin. Yeah, there's a cohort there, but nothing's too serious. It's just they weren't ready for today.
Just talking about Sean, obviously he won't have been happy to come back with that result today, but after a long road to recovery, it's good to see him back, and I suppose minutes under the belt and doing good going into Championship.
Yeah, listen, there's always a positive there to be found. And there were some passages of play that we would have been happy with, you know, particularly in the first, say, 7 minutes. Again, start of second half, it was just a lack of response, you know, when the challenge came. You know, that was the real disappointing thing, you know, there was no response from us. And that's just not something we're used to seeing. So it's particularly disappointing when that response isn't there. But from Sean's perspective, to get a full game in, and to be exposed to as much inside forward play as he was, it's as good as 3 games in the full back line, to be quite honest with you, right? And the quality of the ball that was going into the inside forwards, to be exposed to that, he is ready. And give him another month and another 4 weeks of hard training, he absolutely will be ready. So that's a big positive and a big plus. And we're delighted for him, given he's had a really difficult 10 months of rehab to get through. And yeah, I think that's a real big positive.
John, you used the word embarrassing and abysmal. Do you think this is the poorest performance of your time in charge?
given the words
of use. I'll have to analyse it in more detail. It's hard to tell straight off the cuff, but it's there. It's up there with the top two or three anyway, in the wrong end of the stick.
Coverage of the Alliance Hurling League on Community Radio Kilkenny City is sponsored by Michael Ling Motors, Country Style Foods, JJ Kavanagh and Sons and John Brennan Machinery. Community Radio Kilkenny City, number one for sport. Okay, and that was the two managers there, and John Kiley saying it's Limerick's worst performance since he took over as manager there. Right, we have Richie Power on the line, and we've Nicky Brennan in studio. Richie, what did you make of the semi-final last night and today?
Yeah, sure, look at that. It's league, and you should never forget that. That real cut and thrust of championship hurling, doesn't come into the league, and the way everything is formed now, there's such a short turnover from the league final to the championship. You'd be just wondering at times, does teams really, really want to win the league? Whereas Nicky, in my time, league was hugely important. But I was thrilled with Kilkenny last night. I was exactly what I kind of said to myself yesterday. I said that, get into their faces, have a cut at them, and forget about what happens after that. The result didn't really matter, but I thought Kilkenny were very good last night. They did take on Limerick. They right from the very start, I felt they got at them, and I thought Kilkenny got some great scores and hurled really, really well. And I can see, and I'm delighted for Derek Ling, because he is trying things. And I might have been a little bit critical myself Friday evening that I would have loved to see Jordan Malloy at wing back, but he put him out in the middle of the field last night, and he did well in it. And he put back Shane Murphy, corner back, and I thought he did well. So look, in fairness to the management, I'm delighted they're in this league final, and I think they'll do the panel pass a world of good. It'll give them great confidence.
Right, Nicky, you watched the game down there in Páirc Uíomh, and what do you take out of it from Kilkenny point of view?
I think it's a confidence builder. I think Derek will certainly now have a pep in his step. Like Limerick, of course, he has a few players to come back, and I know now he'll want to go have a good cut at the league final. It's now we know it's Clare. Clare have a very big game coming up 2 weeks after the league final. Kilkenny's game is probably a bit less intense. It is Antrim coming to the UPMC Nolan Park, but both of them will want to go and win a league final. Now it's in the 70s since the two met in a league final, and when Clare won the double in 77 and 78, so they'll be mad keen to win a trophy for Gerlach Nan as well, and Kilkenny will for Derek, because whichever team wins this league will be going into the championship with a pep in their step. So I think Kilkenny will be very happy. The other thing that was significant as well, Pat, the condition of the Páirc Uíomh pitch. The venue mightn't be great for supporters, but the Kilkenny players loved it, because the grass was perfect. They were able to move well on the grass, they were able to spray it across the field, and I think they didn't overdo the short passing at all. They barred the puck out where they got it, and they'll head down the field. They were trying to isolate then Clare or Limerick players one and one close to goal, and that worked very well. So look, John Kiley has a fair bit of thinking to do now, and as I said to him there, just press, it's not as simple as pressing a button, so he's a bit of work to do now. And he was up in Portlaoise today now writing notes for Goodo as on the Clare and Tipperary.
Okay, Richie Power, the semi-final today, Clare and Tip.
Yeah, sure, look, Clare looked fantastic the first half, Pat. They had 10 scores on the score sheet at half time, which is phenomenal, and they got, I just felt they got some brilliant scores from out the field. But look, you have to say that Tipperary, Liam Cahill must be pulling his hair out going home tonight. 4 free takers, and that's not inter-county hurling, it's just, it went from bad to worse regarding the frees. I think there's about 10 frees they missed a total, either 9 or 10 frees, and they should have been a lot closer to Clare. Look, I think, Clare, they're in a league final, probably, haven't won anything under Brian Lowe, and they're going to have a cut at it now. The one thing that they won't want to get out of this league final is injuries, because like that game this day 4 weeks between Clare and Limerick, to me is massive. It's a massive game in the championship, and if Clare can turn over Limerick in Ennis, which they're capable of doing, is like they did it last year, and then 7 days later Limerick have to travel to Cork, so you can be sure that's on the back of John Kiley's mind as well, so look, I think we'll have a good league final. I think both teams will want to win it, and I go back, you know, Clare will want to win it for Brian Lowen. Brian Lowen will want to win it. You know, he's 4 or 5 years there as a manager now, and I'm thrilled for Derek Ling. He's in this final now, and he has tried things in the league. And you know, and I take the hat off to the management team. Maybe they were getting a little bit of criticism, but you know, in fairness to them, they have tried things. They have looked at the problems that I'd say they saw from last year, and they're trying to address it. And you know, it's great to be in it now. And you know, we can have a right cut at it because, you know, we have that couple of weeks then going into the first round of the championship against Antrim.
Yeah, and the thing that I suppose bother Tipperary people is that Liam Cahill, he from an early stage, set out to win the league.
That's right. He would really love to be in that league final, you know, because he have that couple of weeks of a cushion that Clare or Limerick don't have. And would like, you know, the free taking today was just shocking. But they had a lot of problems in their backs, you know, when Clare ran at them in the first half in particular. I just felt that they were lacking pace or some little thing, you know. So he still has a lot of headaches going into this championship, Liam Cahill.
Right, and 1995 was the last time Kilkenny played Clare in the league final. Kilkenny winning that, but of course Clare going on to win the All-Ireland that year after. Remember that? And I think there was a headline after the poor Clares after that final. You'll probably remember that, Richie.
Yeah, I do, Pat. I was just after retiring a couple of years before that, but look at it. I think Clare, they're a fair outfit now, and there's like your man in the middle of the field, David Fitzgerald, like he's a brilliant hurler, like, and you know he ended up with 1-2 today from Clare, like, you know, so you know, they are well capable of maybe turning this championship completely on its head, because you know it will not be easy. Say if Limerick didn't come out of Ennis with a win, they're going to Páirc Cliath, and you know, not going to be simple up there either, like, you know. Cork have a few back from last year, and they're going to, you know, they're moving along nicely. So look at, I'd say, Pat, we're really in for a great championship, and you know, even in our own province here, you have Wexford really after turning things around down there, and you know, there seems to be a real unity about them, and they have a few lads come back that didn't hurl in the league. So look at, I think we'll have a right good Leinster championship. Galway showed me something last weekend against Limerick, because you know, I just felt that you could see a bit of Eamon O'Shea about Galway. There was something about him that I hadn't seen for a year or two, you know. So, I think we'll have a really, really good championship. And, you know, it wouldn't be great if we could win the league and then set into the championship. So, look, it's great to be in the past. It's great for the panel of players.
That was my question, next question and last question. Is it important that Kilkenny win this league final, given that we've been in last year's league final, the last few All-Irelands and all that type of thing?
Oh yeah, and without a doubt, Pat, if we could win the league final, like I could imagine the buzz in the bus coming out of Cork last night, yesterday evening. You know what I mean? It's amazing what a couple of wins can do, particularly for a panel of players like that mightn't have had a huge amount of success over the last number of years. So look, it would be great if we could win it. It won't be easy against Clare. We know that, but if they go about their business the way they did last night, they're there with a right chance.
All right, thanks, Richie.
Okay, Pat. Thank
That's
you.
That's Richie Power, and we'll talk again to Richie.
Jadrox Kilkenny on Community Radio Kilkenny City, 88.7 FM for Top Class Sport. Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday evening Talk Sport on CRKC 88.7 FM.
Okay, and we're on to GAA results here across the county. Nicky Brennan.
Yeah, in the Senior Football Championship, we're into knockout stages here now. Liz Downey 3-11, Moonkind 6 points. Dixborough 1-6, Kilmaganny 7 points. And O'Loughlin Gales 1-8, Danesford 1-7. In the Intermediate Championship, Muckalee 2-9, Greg Ballycallan 2-3, Glenmore 2-9, Piltown 1-8, and Conaghy 1-7, Ballyragget 1-6. Conaghy scored a penalty 4 minutes into injury time after Ballyragget missed a penalty 2 minutes into injury time. Bit of excitement there. In the Junior Football Championship, Greg Damanna 2-6, Winegap 7 points. And in the Leinster Hurling League, it was Camaros 4-14, Blacks and Whites 11 points, Clockballacolla 3-18, the Fenians 1-11, and Barra Rangers 1-14, the Harps 1-10. That's it.
Okay, on to Camogie, and yesterday Kilkenny took on Tipperary in the Division 1 Senior Camogie League, and it was a win for Tip. Here's Liam Kelly O'Rourke.
Kilkenny had a disappointing day at the office on Saturday in the very Camogie League in UPMC Nolan Park, losing out to Tipperary on a scoreline of 2-12 to 1-6. The defeat marks Kilkenny's third loss of the league campaign, while Tipperary continued their fine form with 3 wins from 4. A strong period from Tipperary, ranging from the 25th minute to the 42nd minute, where they scored 2-5 without reply, was the catalyst for the Munster side, driving on to victory. The opening 9 minutes was a tame affair, with just 1 point coming from general play. And what a score it was. Katie Nolan, the pocket rocket, setting up another Katie Power. And Power went on a powerful run to run solo past the Tipperary defence and sent the ball crashing to the net. A follow-up point for me for Prendergast and Anima McGrath free for Tipperary meant after 9 minutes it was 1-1 to a point in favour of Kilkenny. The next score took 11 minutes to arrive, and then 2 scores came in the space of 60 seconds, both of which coming from Tipperary, the first from Caoimhe McCarthy in the 20th minute and Emer McGrath in the 21st minute, meaning with 9 minutes of normal regulation time to go, it was a 1-point game at 1-1 to 3 points. Asha McCarthy responded for Kilkenny with a score, but a point from Emer McGrath and a goal just on the call of time at the end of the first half from Karen Kennedy meant a 29-minute lead for the Cats was in smithereens by the half-time break, with Tipperary in front by 1-4 to 1-2. The start of the second half belonged to Tipperary, as Kilkenny struggled to get to the pace, and the Tip girls struck 1-4 without reply in the opening 12 minutes. The goal coming from Casey Hennessy in the 42nd minute. Good team play from Tipperary resulted in Hennessy going on a solo run and firing the ball low and hard into the back of the Kilkenny net. Kilkenny did respond straight away with their first point of the half to make it 2-8 to 1-3, but 3 further scores put the game beyond reach to make it a 2-11 to 1-3 game with 12 minutes of the contest remaining. Kilkenny did get a late spurt in the final 7 minutes, making a number of substitutions, one of which got on the scoreboard with 2 frees, James Stevens, Sophie Dwyer, joining Katie Power with a trio of points between the 53rd and 56th minutes. But a free from Tip substitute Grace O'Brien secured the win for Tipperary, with even a late Sophie O'Dwyer penalty save summing up a disappointing day at the office for Peter Chapclear's side. The full-time score from UPMC Nolan Park, Tipperary 2-12, Kilkenny 1-6.
Jadwigs Kilkenny on Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM for top class sport.
Just beaten by a better team, Tipperary. First half was very competitive, but again, that's happened the last couple of games. Started the second half, Tipperary got a stranglehold of it, and you know, we lost soul searching too, but beaten by a better team.
When a game takes a certain trend and you're trying to pull it back the whole time, they're the kind of games that get away from you.
Yeah, we were kind of chasing it anyway. We chase, you leave gaps behind, and but look, Tipperary just out hurled us, and they out fought us, and they out everything today. So yeah, it's disappointing. It's a tough one to take, because as I said, the performance wasn't there. But look, we'll regroup, we'll get back together, but we've a mountain of work to do now between now and the championship.
From a Tipperary perspective, it does paint a very good picture from their point of view and the progress they've made.
Yeah, Tipperary final, sure. I mean, they should have been the league final last year. They were pipped in the Ireland semi-final against Watford. Probably should have been another final, probably felt the lift that behind them. Tipperary were full strength today. We've a good few girls hopefully come back into the mix. But look, as I said, the first half very competitive, second half not so much.
Not easy to come on in those circumstances either, but you had a nice few girls to bring off the bench, and the bit of experience won't do them any harm.
Yeah, well, sure, look, I suppose we're a new management team and we've got a new panel in together, and we need to give these girls exposure and game time. And you know, it's inter-county camogie is tough. You're playing at the highest level, and there's no easy games. You're marking top class players every time, and spaces at a premium, so we have to test the girls at this level. And as I said to you, I was happy with the effort of all the girls that came in. They really showed that they wanted to be there, and that's how they wanted to.
You always want to win, but they do say you learn more from your defeats than your victories. You'll be hoping that's true.
Yeah, well, we learned a unbelievable amount today. We would have hoped to be a little bit more competitive in the league. We had a couple of very good performances early doors. Our last 2 performances haven't been acceptable, really. But look, we've got a match now next week against Waterford, so we'll dust ourselves down. We'll come back to that one. And look, as I said, in the league championship part, we're playing Tipperary, down in Tipperary. So we're looking forward to having a crack at them later on the year.
So that's Peter Chapclear there, manager of the Kilkenny senior camogie team, losing out to Tip yesterday 2-12 to 1-6. In minor camogie today, Kilkenny defeated Waterford by a couple of points, 12 points to 1-7, and so Kilkenny doing well enough there in the minor Camogie. That's 2 out of 3 wins. 2 wins out of 3 games so far. The Town's Cup in the rugby, Kilkenny lost out to Gorey 20 points to 19, while the seconds were victorious over Longford 24 points to 8, also in the Provincial Town's Cup. Now, we'll go back to last Friday night, the Calmon Cup night. You enjoy that, Nicky?
Yeah, great crack. Well done to Thomastown. Everything was well done. And well done to Tom Canan as well. I'd say our involvement helped to swell the crowd a little bit. It was a bit of banter. And dare I say it, Barry Henriquez and Shemin Donnelly did a great job on commentating on the two races.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm afraid the big race, the 2, 3 and 4 were the hot shots.
Yeah.
They became a cropper at the first bend. They went into one another. But and I didn't do too bad. I had 4 winners and I had a reverse forecast, and 3 more of those that I tipped came second. So
that was my next question. But was there anyone coming up to you asking you? No.
That'd cost the money.
Are looking to see the presidential penis.
But I have to say, I'm told that the Kilkenny track is one of the best betting tracks around the place. So
That's right.
The bookies were very busy now. So it was I'd say Tom and his crew were delighted with the setup out there.
Funny enough, I was talking to someone last night, actually, down Clonmelway, and I was just talking about the McCalmont Cup and that. Clonmel got a great refurbishment down there, but they said they can't get the bookies in or the crowd in, whereas all the good racing and that's in Kilkenny. And the bookies are there as well.
Thomas brought in some serious sponsors now, and there's big races going on all the time. There's a big stake on starting again on next Friday night. There's big money in Kilkenny track, and that's why there's a lot of the big dogs, a lot of the big trainers now. You know, I see Graham Holland was in there the other night. They're coming over from Galway. Obviously, the other big doggy trainers, whose name escapes you at the moment, are all coming to Kilkenny because there's big money. I mean, the McCalmont Cup, Liam Peacock pulled away $7,000. He was as happy as Larry.
And there's good racing there every week.
Oh yeah,
and it's a good track.
Great track. They do their job well out there, Tom and the crew. And it was nice to be part of it. And hope we will have reason to be there again soon. So watch this space.
And many thanks to Gerard Carwin at Goatsbridge Trout Farm and all the Thomastown GA involved in that as well. And Liam Kelly O'Rourke did a great job linking it all up as well, along with Mick Cummins. But anyway, this is the McCalmont Cup final, and Barry Henriquez and Shem O'Donnell. He couldn't have anyone better than Shem in the commentary box with him. And this is how it went. And then there was aftermatch reaction as well.
The three with the early pace are trapped 2, 3 and 4, so they may all go to the bend together. The favourite, Bonkers and Yonkers, is owned by a syndicate headed by a son of Murty Lahey's, Dara, in New York. He runs a bar in New York.
Murty has 2 in it, Shep.
He has 2 in it, yeah. He has trapped 4 then as well. Trapped 4, yeah. Belong to the Sawdust Syndicate in Jenkinstown there, the Chisel Syndicate. Mulhall's, Peter and Shane Mulhall, and a few of his friends there are involved in that. And check for sure is Carol Ramsbaham in trap 3. He has been a very, very good dog around here. He has 19-1-0-48. And he's owned by a syndicate from Mallow and Limerick there. So we have Liam Peacock out in trap 5. Liam is up heading up towards Turles direction. Liam runs all the dogs under the Bogger syndicate, and he has a very good strike race as well here. The two outsiders then, mostly Rash Fallon Hero, David Flanagan's friends, were Tom Weddick and Dennis Hughes out there in the Bennisbridge Road there. And Boham then is owned by Mr. Dublin man Matthew Derrick, trained by David Flanagan as well. David has 2 in the final, so he's the outsider at 12-1. So my fancy would probably be the 2, the favourite. He has the early, but if he gets on the rails, he'll be very hard dog to pass. So I just think he may just my 2 would be my fancy.
2 would be your fancy. I was talking to Deirdre Lahey again, and she said Sawdust, Tom's other or Murty's other dog, is not without a very, very serious chance.
Without a doubt. The 2, 3 and 4 in the race have the early of the race. They have the early of the race. But as long as they avoid each other going to the vendor, they don't clash. And sure, things like that can happen in greyhound racing. But the best of luck to them all anyway. It's a very prestigious competition to win.
Put them up, and so for Trap Run, we've Rat Fala, Hero, and Trap 2, Bonkers, is in Trap 2 and Trap 3, wearing the white vest, Checkers for Sir, Check for Sir, and Trap 4, wearing the black vest, is Soda Storm. In Trap 5, there's Roger Dusty, he's wearing the orange vest, and in Trap 6 is the striped vest, Rural Ricky High. And the Trair Town, Glory Talk, here it comes, up it goes, and away they come, and five gets the best break of all. He's coming to the first bend. He leads around the first. He leads well around the first, and he's leading Trap 2. That's Yonkers is in Trap 2. He'll have to do some running to catch up on Trap 5. And here comes Trap 1 on the inside. Rat Valley Hero on the inside of Trap 2 of Bonkers. But it's still the Trap 5 out of this side of the frame. A run to the line. And it is Trap 5 winners. Bogger Boat Dusty. That is a surprise. Shem O'Donnell.
Yeah, but he has been a good dog around here. He has a lot of races won. Very, very, very consistent dog around here. But 4-1, around a 4-1 chance, about fourth favourite. He got away at the first bend. The three inside dogs that we thought sort of balked each other going into the bend, and the five lad took good advantage and went three lengths clear up the back straight, and they could never peg him back then.
He was about four lengths going up the back straight, and Yonkers tried to catch him, couldn't catch him. Yonkers was in trouble with Rat Valley. He was catching Yonkers, but there was nobody catching Trap 5. He went to the wire, and he went, goes over the wire in front of Rat Valley Hero, and Yonkers is third.
Just to talk to his mother, did you think he was going to win it? Had you any fears? There was a great lot of bunching at the first bend there.
No matter what, it's a chance. It's all about the way to come out and get around the bend first.
Yeah, and once he led from the first bend, I think he was never going to be caught.
Yeah, well, he's proven to win a lot of races last year, so he is one top dog like.
Tom Kinnan getting the trophy ready now to be presented here. My tip check for Sir, I'm afraid, came a bit of a cropper, was making great headway down the back straight and down to the end of the winning post here. We'll have a quick word with Liam here now. Liam, congratulations. A fantastic run. I thought myself that the race was possibly decided at the first bend. How would you see it?
He's a great dog when he gets in front. He's very hard to pass when he's in front. So delighted way he ran, yeah.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a bunching there at the first bend. He came out of it well. I didn't think he was going to get caught after that.
No, the trapping and got round the bend in front, that helped him a lot, yeah. Great little dog in front.
In terms of winning this particular stake here, it's a very prestigious stake in Kilkenny Greyhound circles. Your name now is on the list of honours with a lot of very famous people.
Good to win any stake, and especially around Kilkenny, great track to, very hard to win around Kilkenny, and great to win.
You have about 60 dogs in training, I was told there, and how's the season going for you, the time going for you?
It's actually lying. We have a couple in training and a few to come on, so.
Yeah, but you're not doing too bad now. This will rank as one of your biggest successes?
Yeah, great win, yeah. Delighted to win it, yeah.
I'll let you off to celebrate with your family. Well done, Liam, and congratulations.
Thanks very much. Plenty of tea.
You're not going to get too much information there, Nicky.
No, I wasn't, no, but he was delighted. No, any lad that you win a race with $7,000 first prize, that's not wrong with that. His mother and his girlfriend were there with him, and they were delighted with themselves. So he's a regular at Kilkenny track.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll know us here on a Friday night, Pat. We use the name Bogger a lot. Bogger this right, and Bogger that. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the Liam Peacock is the man who runs the Bogger group. So good luck to him. He's a regular there. And it's good to see people coming in there, because there's some serious trainers there now over the years. And Morty Lahey has won it three times. Yeah. Paul Hennessy has won it, and Jeremy Kenna. Some of the great, great trainers. Carol Ramsbottom is still to win it, all right, and a few more of them. But look, it was a great night, and well done. And look, it was a great bit of fun, and well done, as you said, to Mick Cummins and to Liam Kelly O'Rourke. And BH excelled himself in comments in his interviews.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break, and we have soccer results coming up.
Chadwick's Kilkenny, supporting Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport on 88.7 FM. Chadwick's Kilkenny, supporting Community Radio Kilkenny City Sport on 88.7 FM.
Okay, and we're on to local soccer results and the McAlmont Cup. Had Armand Villa at home to Freebooters A. They lost 4-1. Freebooters, Armand Villa FC 1, Freebooters A 4. Lions B 0, Dean Celtic A 4. Bridge United 3, Dean Celtic B 0. And Thomastown United 3, Castle Warren Celtic A 0. Evergreen A 6, Evergreen 46, nil. Callan United 2, Lions A, nil. And in the same Canisius Credit Union Women's League, Evergreen FC 2, nil. Mill Celtic 3, Evergreen FC 0, New Park AFC 2, and Lions AFC 0, Thomastown United 3. And those are your scorelines there from local soccer. Nicky Brennan, we're going to have rugby in Páirc Uí Chaoimh and Croke Park, and is there talks of rugby in Nolan Park for some reason?
Well, we got a message yesterday from Croke Park meeting that permission has been given to play rugby and soccer in Croke Park and Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Now, my people tell me that the RDS is going to be upgraded to the new stand in the RDS, which means it won't be available. So hence the reason for Croke Park coming on board. And I'm even hearing a hint that Nolan Park might be in the equation maybe for some of the smaller games. That was not in the press release from Croke Park yesterday, so I'm not sure. I was told that this morning by a journalist. The rationale on Páirc Uí Chaoimh is simply very simple. If they can, it obviously might suit Munster if they get a big European occasion, perhaps to go to Páirc Uí Chaoimh, where they'll made quite a bit of money in the last two times they were there, and good luck to them on that. It also gives a few bob to the Cork County Board, and I think obviously Thomond Park is their main venue, but it doesn't have naming rights at the moment, so that probably makes it a little bit easier for them. Now that's me totally speculation, so I don't anyone to go around and say this is what's going to happen. Right. But that's what I'm hearing from gossip, and as I say, Nolan Park has been mentioned. Now whether that's a remote possibility or not, I don't know, but clearly Croke Park wouldn't be practical to play all of Leinster's games. They alternate between the RDS and the Aviva Stadium.
To be amazing if Nolan Park was hosting rugby and they'd hardly put a football match in it.
There you go. Now, to be fair now, to defend them, they do play all the county finals in there now in Nolan Park, to be fair now, and we've attended them and we've covered them, and we've often been the only...
The GAA, as in the Leinster Council and stuff, that would often given out when there's a Gaelic football match.
Yeah, well, look, Kildare came down there last year, they had nowhere else to go, and a couple of years ago when I was chairman, I can tell you, Pat, now I took ferocious abuse for fixing Kildare and Offaly there.
Yeah.
And then it was a draw the first day. And I got twice as much abuse the next day. But
I remember Dublin coming down, they were delighted. One of the best.
Dublin never have a problem going into the countryside at all. All this talk of Dublin wanting to play in Croke Park, wherever. Dublin are delighted to come down the country. I tell you one thing, they're bagging scores at the moment.
Do you see today?
Oh, Jenny, man.
Just remind me, actually, the last time Tyrone shipped five or six goals like that was against Kerry, and I remember who was the Kerry manager at the time, and he was interviewed afterwards and he said it could have gone either way. Dublin, I'm kind of surprised that Dublin to me looked to be an awful lot better this year, as in squad wise and all the rest than they were, whereas you know you kind of looked at their age profile and maybe they were on the last legs and all the rest. They've kicked on, and I'm not sure Kerry have.
Oh, I agree with you. If you take the two Cliffords out of Kerry, they're very ordinary. Jason Foley is injured and the midfielder Jack Barry has gone travelling, so
although that Joe O'Connor is decent,
he's not too bad but Cork, now I didn't wait for the football match last night, needless to say, but I tell you, Cork, they scored 216 against Armagh last night and maybe finding their mojo a little bit, so the Munster Championship is no foregone conclusion.
Anyway, the league finals are going to be Dublin against Derry in Division 1. It's Division 2, Armagh against Donegal. Down will play Westmeath and Laois against Leitrim. And as one of the Derry players remarked today, it isn't so long ago since they were in the Division 4 league final.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And I mean, there's also other finals coming up as well, Pat. On the hurling side, I'll just give it to you quick. The Allianz Division 2A game is on next weekend, at the 31st of March. It's on in Network, Cullen Park, Carlow and Laois. The Division 3A final is on in Castlebar. It's between Mayo and Sligo. Division 3B is Fermanagh and Warwickshire. And that's it then. Yeah. No, yeah. I know that there is one other game. I think Derry are playing, I think, Donegal in whatever that game. That's on Saturday in the Derry Centre of Excellence in Onbeg, Derry and Tyrone, I beg your pardon.
Right.
Because Tyrone beat Donegal at the weekend.
And in ladies' football, Cork have been relegated.
Yeah, that's just showing you how the mighty have fallen.
Yeah. All right, that's it. Thanks to everyone who took part. Thanks, Nikki. And also thanks to everyone who contributed to the programme. We're going to leave you with the great GA giveaway for April. And of course, we have Tommy Dowd coming up with Country and Irish. Bye and God bless. Take care.
Do you know a GAA-obsessed 10 to 12-year-old? Are they ready to step into the shoes of a county board official for a day? Well, we've got an exciting opportunity for one lucky young listener. You'll be spending an entire match day at the iconic UPMC Nolan Park, home to the most thrilling GAA action. And you won't be just a spectator. You'll be right in the heart of the action, behind the scenes, preparing for the big match as Kilkenny take on Antrim on Sunday, April 21st. You'll get to experience the hustle and bustle of match day preparations, rub shoulders with county board officials, soak in the atmosphere as the excitement builds, and get a sneak peek into what goes on before the players even step onto the field. Once the match throws in, you'll have the best seat in the house, the commentary box. You'll witness every heart-stopping moment of the game from a perspective few ever get to experience. And that's not all. After the final whistle blows, you'll have the chance to meet the Kilkenny team up close and personal. So how can you win this incredible opportunity? Just listen up for the cue to text with your name, age and your club across the week on Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM. The winner will be announced on Friday, April 19th. It could be you. And the excitement doesn't end there. The lucky winner will also be invited onto Pat Tracy's show on Saturday, April 27th for a live interview about their thrilling experience of spending a day in the life of a county board official. So all young GAA fans, don't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Keep listening to Community Radio Kilkenny City 88.7 FM for your chance to win.
Chadwick's sponsoring Sunday Evening Talksport on CRKC 88.7 FM.